What's up?
My phone volume was really loud, and that hurt my ears. I don't know
I
why.
know, I also am getting that when we were just on FaceTime, like, so we always FaceTime and then we have to switch over to talking on the phone when
Because
we're
I have the
recording.
shittiest internet in the entire world, and it will literally just cut out. It hates me.
But when we were on FaceTime, Alicia's like tip tapping, clacking on our computer, and I had to take my headphones off because it was hurting my
Literally.
ears. It was way too much.
Just way too much. This morning was a lot, honestly. I woke up out of my sleep in like a rage. I don't know what I dreamt about. I
Welcome
don't
to
know what.
Chose Violence.
I
Alicia
literally
didn't
did.
answer. She didn't answer me for like a couple of minutes, and I was just getting anxious because I knew we had to record. So I go, "Hello." She goes, "Don't do that. It's been 5 minutes." Like,
Like, that
sorry.
is so mean. Why would I do that? It's not, that's literally how we text. And I just attacked you out of
You
nowhere. Why am I
scolded me like
crying
a
right now?
child.
I'm literally crying right now. I feel bad about it. I feel really bad. Every time I'm like even slightly mean, like I do this to like my roommate too, I literally apologize about it for like literally like days. I'll be like, "Remember when I was really mean? I'm so sorry." And everyone's like, "No, we've been over it." And I'm like, "Well, I'm not."
Yeah, I was kind of mean to my roommate the other day, and I keep getting flashbacks of it. Like, literally, like, you know the type of flashback when your body twitches and you
Yeah, when you
cringe,
cringe.
and you're
Yeah.
like, oh, can't believe I did that. I'm like, ooh, can't believe I was rude like that. Like, I.
Yeah, it gets hard though because like roommates become your siblings, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially during quarantine. Like you're with like I'm with my roommate probably like 14, 15 hours a day every single day. Like we're just together all the time. So then you start to get into like little tiffs like you would with your sister, but then like it's more acceptable when it's your sister because you're allowed to kind of be mean to them, but
Yeah, I mean, like, you've grown up with your whole life. Like, all you've ever known is me and me sometimes being a fucking huge bitch. But unfortunately, my roommate just signed that lease in August. So has had to put up with it. I'm
don't
not.
think you're bad. No, you're not
Yeah,
bad.
I shouldn't act like I'm this
No, like this
evil.
tyrant, you're not, but
I mean, I hope not. I mean, I guess I shouldn't talk for her, but I think that I'm a pretty good roommate. We're
yeah.
besties,
No, we're
so.
literally besties over here too. Yesterday we were gonna go feed the ducks some. I know that bread is really bad for ducks. I heard that actually somewhere that it like drowns them. I have no idea. I don't know the science
What?
behind it. Yeah, apparently you're not supposed to like feed ducks
Yeah,
bread
I knew
because
that, but it doesn't. It drowns them. Are you sure?
I thought that it like fucked their stomach up or something like that, and then
Yeah,
they
I feel like
drowned or
that's
like
what.
they starve or something. I have no idea. I have no idea what actually happens to the ducks. I clearly read a horror story. I don't know. But we're gonna go feed them oats instead. I was like, okay, good alternative. I googled it. It said it was duck safe. And then it literally instantly started storming. They said, no, you're not allowed to go freaking feed. Well, I guess it is illegal, so maybe we shouldn't be going, but
Okay, bread is bad because it fills them up without giving them the nutrition that they need.
Well, I guess it does the same to us.
And they'll eat, like, if you don't eat all of the bread or they don't eat it immediately, it will rot and then they'll eat it and that will make them sick.
Well, I guess I had it all wrong. I thought
You
that
know
it
what? You
literally.
had the right intentions in mind. You're like, I don't want to kill these ducks. I'm gonna
Yeah,
get them some oats.
I literally didn't want to murder them.
Yeah, I used to have like a bag of bird seed for our niece and our nephew, and I'd be like, let's go feed the ducks, but like with bird seed.
Yeah, so cute. So much funsies.
With the stuff that's good with them. Hey everyone, thanks for listening. We didn't say what this is again.
Oh
We
my
never
God.
do.
We've literally been talking for like 5 minutes and we just
We're just like,
disregarded our whole
look.
potty.
Hey, welcome to this podcast. Like, listen to us talk about being mean to her roommates and ducks, like...
Like, what? This has nothing to do with who we are.
It has everything to do with who we are. It's who we are on the daily, not just once a week when we're putting on our cool voices and cool recording
voices. Cool our cool voices. Podcast. My cool voice is me going, well, like, that's literally me. I listen to the podcast back and I'm like, how... dare I? Like, I clearly don't know any real words, and my whole vocabulary is filler words, which is just, let me sing up again.
So all I do is sing softly in the background. I'm like, yeah, there are cats around me. And, like, why do I do that?
Me. Literally me. Actually not. Well, actually, no, I think I did that to you. I started singing everything, and then you did.
No, and I got that from Aisha. No. I've been singing everything since I was a kid.
No, not like the way you do. Not like the way you do now, girly girl. You are on a different level than you've ever been.
No, because I strictly remember my friend Jessica being like, you're always singing all the time. And every time when I was at work and stuff, it's all I've ever been told is that I'm constantly singing. Well. So, are you calling all of my memories a lie?
100%. I don't believe
no, one of your I didn't memories. Get it. I didn't get it from you. You got it from me. I'm the older one.
We got it from Dad, maybe?
I don't know. Yeah, okay, we went to introduce the podcast and started to fight a little bit. So, yes. thanks guys for listening. And this is Black Girls Chatter. If you haven't figured it out already, I'm Shayla. And that's Alicia, and we are two sisters that like to talk about the concepts and topics and everything surrounding race and racism.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we're here for.
And today we've got a pretty relevant episode for you guys. We're going to be talking about the carding in Canada and what this newest lockdown procedure in Canada, Ontario means. To yeah. marginalized people.
Yeah.
And how that affects them. And yeah, should we get into it?
Yeah, let's get started with the land acknowledgement.
Sure.
So we respectfully What just happened? I just died.
Sometimes it just doesn't work. Sometimes the tongue doesn't know what it's doing.
It literally just hit some part of my throat that I've never felt before, and I choked. But anyway, we respectfully acknowledge that we are on the traditional territory of the Mississauga Anishinaabe. We offer our gratitude to our First Nations for their care for and teachings about our earth and our relations. May we honor those teachings.
Thank you.
I can't snap if that's
me, what like trying not to sing that thank you there because I'm feeling self-conscious about it.
you can sing.
I'm like sitting, staring down at my table. You know that one Mindy Kaling meme, and she's like from The Office.
Yes, it the meme
that you just stared. That made my friend Simona do.
You yeah. did it too.
Oh, yeah, I did I broke my bong once, and I had a picture of me crying on the floor, and I was like, you know what, this
relates.
This is Mindy. Yeah, it literally I look exactly like her.
Mindy Man. I have the same birthday as her.
I have the same birthday as transphobic J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter.
That's unfortunate. I also have the same birthday as Tana Mojo, so I guess we all have an unfortunate...
We all have skeletons in our closet.
I guess so.
Your birthday doesn't define you, except for it defines astrology.
Everything about you. Okay. Yeah. So, why don't we get into it? So, before the policing strategy of carding, I think that it's crucial to make a distinction between the types of policing that exist in Canada. So, there's two different types. There's, high policing and there's low policing. So what low policing is, that's concerned with protecting individual victims in the community through order maintenance. So this is what we all know. Well, you know the narrative that the police force, like, drive out? This is what that is entailing is low policing. So it ties into the perspective of, I'm sure you've heard of this, Sir Robert's Peelian principles of policing. So, like, you've heard this, like, the police are the public, and the public are the police. Like, the police are there to serve the public, you know what I mean? Like,
protect and serve.
Exactly, protect and serve. That's exactly what low policing entails. And then there's high policing, which is a form of intelligence-led policing, which means that it serves to protect the government in the status quo. So it means the current social order, which is the hegemony, which is the power elite. So basically, high policing serves as an arm of the power elite. Does that make sense to you?
I'm confused. So high policing is like the policing that's done for rich people?
It's not the policing that's done for rich people, because I really did not explain that. So yeah, it serves to protect the government in the status quo. So that's what we're seeing when we see police on the streets, say, doing discriminatory actions against, say, the BIPOC community. That is in order to preserve our status quo of whiteness.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, so there's two different narratives of policing. There's low policing, which is the narrative that the police put out, and it's like, we're here for the public.
Exactly.
We're part of the public. We're here to support you.
Yeah, we are
you
the public,
and,
yeah.
Make everyone feel really safe, and mm-hmm. we're just patrolling, and we're not doing anything wrong. We're just
helping
everyone
out. Exactly, we're just helping you out, yeah.
But then there's high policing, where they're actually following, like, orders that are problematic.
Exactly.
And they don't have the best interests of the public at mind. And
exactly.
This is the policing that isn't portrayed, like, so, like, low policing would be, like, watching freaking Criminal Minds or something, right?
But, yeah.
And that's what we always see in the media, is, like, this awesome, like, really positive representation of police.
Yes.
And how they are only doing stuff to help their community against
exactly.
all of these predators.
But yeah, exactly.
High policing is everything else.
exactly. So if you kind of look at it through the lens of, like, we can even put, like, the dramaturgy lens, so, like, with, like, arts and, like the theater, it's, like, the backstage presence of policing. So, like, what you would do behind the scenes is, like, high policing, and low policing mm-hmm. is basically the front stage presence, what you're trying to show the public. You know what I mean? Like, because when you're watching, like, a theater show, you have no idea what's happening behind stage, and that's chaos. And that's what high policing presents. So, in Canada, this line between low and high policing has been compounded, so it's not really so much that you can differentiate between these two formations of policing, because they have kind of blended together.
Mm-hmm.
And they've compounded in order to maintain the police's representations of saviors of the public, and then hide the hegemonic agenda that exists underneath the surface, if that makes sense, or like to maintain the persistence of whiteness. So with the rise of carding, how this ties in, because carding is a form of high policing. That's an intelligence-led policing strategy that serves to maintain the status quo. So the roots
to the public, it's portrayed as low policing, because they're like, we're just helping everyone. Like,
exactly,
and
that's
keep everybody safe.
Exactly, and that's exactly why it was reformulated into, like, from carding to street checks, to be like, no, like, you know what, we're just out here, we're walking the beat.
We just renamed it.
Yeah, we literally just, and they did that because language is power, if that makes sense to you. Like, language is power, so the way you frame things is the way people are going to see it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So, yeah, the rise of carding in Toronto, I'm pretty sure that I'm not 100% sure where its roots are, like, originate in Canada, but I know that in Toronto, it dates back to about 1957, mm-hmm. with the creation of the Metropolitan Toronto Police Force. So, officers were provided with cards to document encounters with citizens who might otherwise not be recorded. So this formulation of policing power basically occurs when a officer is able to use their discretionary power. So discretion is basically whatever they think. So say they look at somebody, they're like, oh, that person might be a little bit suspicious. Like, I think they're a little suspicious. And then they'll use that indication, which is their discretion, to police that person. So they're able to use that discretion to stop any individual on the streets without a tip or a motive to do so, and lodge their basic information. And this information typically pertains to the individual's race, their gender, their age, their height, and along with any other personal information that the officer thinks is relevant to their policing procedure. So they can get anything off of you. So in the information that's collected is recorded and transferred into a policing database where that information is stored permanently. Mm-hmm. So that strategy is implemented with the ideas of low policing. So it's basically being like, no, like, officers are just walking the beat. If they see anything a little suspicious, they're gonna protect you, baby. Like, that's what they're doing. They're just walking the beat. They're not gonna do this to discriminate against anybody. So yeah, they said this strategy was embedded, avoidable of racial, gendered, and class stereotypes. However, this was proven to be a direct facade.
Mm-hmm.
So the strategy is actually embedded to enhance racial and gendered and class stereotypes, and to gather that information with the professed intent to protect the community.
I was just going to summarize. So they're phrasing it that they're helping the community, and that they're just like, the police are walking around and like, oh, maybe they see someone who's acting a little bit sketchy, like they're being really dodgy, they're gonna stop them, get their information. Exactly. And then, oh, hopefully like something ends up happening, they already have that person's information who was the suspect.
Exactly. And
but the problem is, like, it wasn't happening to people who were acting suspicious, it was happening to marginalized folks.
Exactly.
The line of what is suspicious and what isn't suspicious is very blurry, because, like, to some, something suspicious would be someone walking down an alley in the middle of the night with something that could be used as a weapon. Mm-hmm. Or it could be, oh, they didn't make eye contact with me, so they're being exactly suspicious.
And then it's interesting, too, because, like, in our previous episodes, we've spoken about this, too. Like, for instance, we were speaking about the the buck or the brute stereotype in pertainment to black men. Like, five white guys walking down the street, that's a group of friends. Five black guys walking down the street, that's a gang in the mm-hmm. eyes of society. So it's like, their discretion, is it even, I'm not gonna say it's not their fault for having those biases, but those biases are implemented in our society for a reason. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're stereotyping people based on their appearance. And it's interesting, too, because the rise of carding within our present regime came again with the rise of conservative power that referenced that the... Do you remember, what was it called? The tough-on-crime legislations? Mm-hmm. So they were basically just saying, oh, crime is on the rise in Canada. Crime is literally the highest it's ever been. It's so scary out there. The streets are literally horrible. Don't leave your house. Basically is what they were saying to everybody. So that shifted into a new regime for the police, a zero tolerance regime of police power that enacted that they basically had to act on things prior to things happening. So it's embedded
but
in this.
We know that's not how the police work.
Exactly. It's not how, like, the police work.
When and you try to say, oh, someone's been stalking me and threatening my life, they're like, oh, they actually had to do something first.
They don't give a fuck, but that's what they present that they do. They're like, mm-hmm. oh no, we have to get, and this is actually embedded into, like, a policing design called zero tolerance policing. I just lost my train of thought. But, yeah, so, obviously, the facade that
carding is supposed to be implemented, avoidable of all racial, gendered, and class stereotype is untrue. And we can see that through the techniques employed by the Toronto Police Department. So for instance, black individuals are stopped and black individuals are stopped and documented at a 2.5 times higher rate than their white counterparts. And in the study that I read, it said that black males in Canada are ultimately subject to higher levels of racial profiling and harsher police punishment as a result of this strategy. But it's a little disappointing that the data illuminated only really centers black males in the study, because it kind of hides the experience of black femininity that oftentimes has a worsening oppression. So I would like to see what those statistics would be like if they included the black female population, because I would assume they would be higher. The policing strategy of carding illustrates not only an evident of disregards of the lives of black individuals, but it's also used to target black individuals. So for instance, in an article I read, it's called Here's What You Need to Know About Carding. A young black man expresses the extent to which he has personally been subjected to racial discrimination just at the hands of the specific strategy of carding. He stated that he had been unroutinely stopped and carded by police officers at least 50 times in Ontario in 1 year. And he goes on to explain that those interactions don't even scare him anymore. They make him angry because of the unwanted scrutiny that discriminatory surveillance persists. It makes him a prisoner in his own city. So this story demonstrates that the disproportionate targeting of young black individuals at an alarming rate through the discriminatory policing strategies as shown through carding. It just kind of shows, like, this really harsh reality.
Yeah, like, so the whole system of carding was used to further oppress marginalized people in Canada, invisible and minorities. So they were showing it as this whole, oh, this is to protect everyone, we're collecting data about the people, the suspicious people in your neighborhood, all of this stuff. But that's not what they're doing. They are specifically targeting, especially black people, like black and indigenous peoples.
100%. And,
like, stopping them, they're sometimes, like, asking to look into their bags, like, all of this stuff that is completely unwarranted, because all they're doing is walking. It's the crime of being black.
Exactly. And it's unconstitutional as well, because what our charter persists, if somebody thinks you're guilty of something, you are innocent until proven guilty. So I don't understand how even a policy could be implemented, because carding shows that especially marginalized individuals are guilty until proven innocent.
Exactly. Exactly. And I even read in this that there used to be such a push. And I mean, we've all heard about, the end of the month is coming. This is when all the officers are out. They're trying to hit their quotas, trying to get all of their tickets out, which is a fucked up system. Mm-hmm. Sorry, you should only be hitting there shouldn't be a quota on how many tickets you give out every month, but okay, sure. But even with carding, there was, like, street check quotas within the police department.
There was literally quotas.
Yeah, and their performance reviews depended on the amount of people they stopped and carded. So their promotions depended on how many black kids they got into their database. What the whole basis of carding was. Mm-hmm. And it was even so bad that some cops, they weren't able to reach those numbers. So the numbers were, first of all, unattainable. And this was in Toronto. The numbers were so hard that it was hard for the police officers to even reach them. So they had to be stopping so many people to be reaching those numbers that some officers would go to graves and record the names and the birth dates off of the tombstones.
That's so scary. So scary.
Yeah, it's fucked.
Because they're under, and, like, that just shows, like, the backstage presence of policing. Like, it they are so centered in a world, like, we don't even understand what happens behind the scenes. They're so centered in a world that is based off of, like, quotas and all of these things showing that crime is so bad, crime exists in this type of way, that it doesn't. Like, crime is literally the lowest it's ever been. Like, it's yeah, not...
Exactly, and what? Like, they're like, we're here because we're protecting you. But instead of our tax dollars that are funding the police, they aren't going towards preventing crime or solving yeah. murders and whatever, all this other stuff that everyone's like, the police are so great for. Exactly. No, we're paying them to walk through a cemetery to write down birthdays.
Exactly. Excuse we're me? Paying them to target us. Yeah. We're literally paying them to target us. That's what's happening. And even with the carding policy, it was literally concluded, I think, by the Ontario Human Rights Commission that it was literally super discriminatory and that it couldn't be used because it went directly against the charter that happened in mm-hmm. 2014. So what did the police do? Do you think that they oh, stopped did the police carding?
Stop doing something racist, or did they just yeah. cover it up?
Or did they just cover it up with a little band-aid and a kiss? Yeah. A little band-aid and a kiss they gave us, basically. So basically what they did was they disabled the use of an actual physical identification card. However, all the other procedures are still the same. You're still allowed to target individuals.
And I'm sorry, like, the police, we know that everyone that goes into the police force are these people who are power-hungry and power-tripping. Once you give them the power to stop people, they're not going to give that up.
Yeah, exactly.
It's what they do now. Exactly. And the only thing that makes, like, where they can even track carding, and what they did is they just renamed it, right, to the street, forgot the words now.
Street checks.
The street checks. Those are only considered carding or street checks when the information is logged in the system. So how many times are people getting stopped because the police finds them suspicious and the police officer doesn't even report it?
Literally. Exactly.
So, like, the numbers we know aren't even accurate because they aren't, I know that they're not getting reported.
Literally, don't believe fucking statistics. That's one thing university taught me is that statistics aren't real. People literally just make up their own statistics.
Yeah. So basically the whole reason we wanted to do this episode today, hi everyone, as of Friday, April 16th, Doug Ford basically legalized carding again, in Ontario, and it has since been revoked what he said, but it still holds power and still holds true right now. So basically, on Friday, Doug Ford and the Ontario government, they gave police the power to stop residents at random. And he said that the police were, like, had all of this new power, and that they would be able to stop people who they have reason to believe are participating in organized public events, social gatherings, or even if they're just outside of their house or in their car. Yeah. And, of course, it doesn't say the Ontario government gave the police the power to stop BIPOC people, but that's what it's gonna do.
Well, neither did the carding policy. It literally said directly that it wasn't going to do that, and that's what it did.
Exactly. So, since then, a bunch of the police stations or police units across Ontario have released statements saying that they are not going to be going through with this, that the only way that they'll be following up on COVID in this way, in this matter. And the whole reason that they did it was to prevent people from going outside, right? And all of these police units have said that they're not going to be doing that. And the only way that they're going to be enforcing these new COVID rules are based on complaints. And they'll be following up on that, or if they have, like, real reasons to suspect that people are behaving inappropriately and breaking the COVID rules. And even though the police stations have since said that, and the government has since kind of backtracked on what they said about giving the police all of this new power, it still is terrifying. I called Alicia when this whole new announcement was made, and, like, we both, like, literally teared up. We were like, our dad's not safe. Like, our dad drives out of town for work. So he's not safe. He's going to become a target now because he's going to get stopped and police are going to be like, why are you out of your house? What are you doing out of your house?
Exactly.
Well, you, as a black male, are not allowed out of your house, but that white guy down the street, yeah, that's fine if he is. Because I know that he's doing something that's safe for COVID, but you...
Exactly. You, a black person... Yeah.
Are a danger, and you are not respecting the COVID rules.
I was talking to Dad, and I was saying that. I was like, this new mandate is really scary. I was like, I'm worried for you. And then Dad goes, if a police stops me, I'm gonna box them in their head. And I said, you know what? You deal with it however you want, baby boo. But as long as you're coming home at night, that's all that matters to me. That's all that matters
to me. Our dad is no stranger to being randomly stopped by the police. And, of course, he's just joking when he says something
like
that.
Yes, he's obviously joking. He's not going to do that. But
yeah, please don't report our dad to the police.
Please. But, yeah, It's interesting, too, because the police departments did make those statements being like, oh, no, we're not going to be doing anything. Like, JK, Doug Ford is a stupid idiot. But the moment, I'm not even joking, that day I went outside to go for a walk. I went to Shoppers. And there's typically, I live in a lower socioeconomic area because of where my university is located. And, which is fine, like, I love it here, I love York, but I noticed, like, we usually have, a cruiser or two surrounding our area, like, patrolling the, I shouldn't say where I live. We have usually,
I'll bleep that word there, don't worry.
Okay. a cruiser or two patrolling the area, but, When I went outside, I'm not even joking, I saw maybe, like, 6, 7, and I don't have that big of an area. And it's interesting, too, because I live near a dominantly black, lower socioeconomic area, which is about Jane and Finch. And so it's really interesting for them to say, oh, no, we're not going to be producing this new regime of power. We're just going to be doing it based on complaints. But then why did you increase the amount of cruisers by 6 times in my neighborhood then? And why did that happen?
And, like, I've talked to some of my friends who are white about this, and, like, it's just, like, I'm sorry that they'll never understand. Like, I don't care. I'm terrified to go out now because people are going to complain. Like, remember a couple episodes ago, we were talking about this little 6-year-old black boy who got the cops called on him for picking a flower.
Literally.
Right? Exactly. And the girl reported him to the police. This woman, this racist woman, reported him to the police. So who's to say that if the police are going to be acting in this way, they're only going on complaints that someone who is black is just leaving their house to get outside and go for a walk, and that they're not going to get the police called on them regardless, and that they will then have to follow through on that complaint. So it still targets the black and indigenous and the BIPOC community because people are fucking racist. That's and people are going to call in and be like, oh, I don't want this N-word walking down my street, blah, 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 blah. Like, all of that, 100%. Even if you live in the neighborhood. I mean, how many videos of that are we seeing online every day?
And the bottom line is, too, the institution of policing is racist. So if they have this extra leverage, even if they're saying they're not going to use it, they obviously are. Just like they said that they weren't going to card people. Based on racial stereotypes, and they still fucking do. So it's really interesting that the police departments release the statement, and everyone's like, okay, no, we're good, we're okay. No, you're not. No, we're not. No, we're absolutely not. They're liars. That's literally what they're known to do, is lie to our faces. And I don't trust that. I don't trust that at all. I don't trust that because I witnessed it with my own eyes walking out my front door the other day. Like, that's scary. That's extremely scary. And I've also seen multiple people in the GTA say that they've been pulled over during this time, during the freaking... Sorry, me just losing my train of thought. But I've seen multiple people say that they've been pulled over after this new regime of power was set in place. And those specific police departments said that they were not going to be doing that.
And they're just doing it to save face. Like, that's literally what's happening. These statements. Like, I had some people message me what the Peterborough police released. I'm like, I don't fucking believe them. I know who's on that police force. Exactly. Sorry. No. Like, literally. And yeah, it's just ridiculous. Of course they're going to release that statement. If other police services across the province are releasing statements like that, they all have to. Exactly. It looks bad on them if they don't. Exactly. And that releasing of that statement is their low policing and how they want to be perceived by the public.
Exactly.
But what is actually happening is high policing. And exactly. It's fucked. And it's not okay. Scary. And we aren't fighting COVID. Like, that is not our problem right now. We're not upset being like, these COVID rules are bad and we are anti-maskers or something like that. Because that's not what it is. We're fighting against institutionalized racism that 100%. Is very prevalent in our fucking, in our province, in our cities, in our country, across the globe.
Exactly. And to induce a policy that has historically been extremely racist and has been used to disadvantage marginalized communities as a nationwide mandate or a province-wide mandate, that is scary. That is extremely scary.
Mm-hmm. And now the police have that power. They all know it.
Even if they say they're not going to use it, they know that they have it and they are going to use it. Like, why wouldn't they? They've power tripped off of every other sliver of anything that they've ever got. So why wouldn't they be doing that now?
Absolutely. So if you are listening and you are Black, and you live in Ontario, and you do get stopped, I do have actually one more thing before this. I've talked to some people, and they're like, well, I'm still going to go on my walks, and if the police stop me and they give me a ticket, then I'm going to fight it. Do you not understand that if you're a white person, that you can go, you can say to the police, you can't stop me like this, you can't ask for that information, and live to see the next day. You can go, and you can fight that charge in court and get it dropped. But when you are marginalized and you are a person of color and you're Black or you're Indigenous or anything, it is dangerous to do those things. It's dangerous to look a police officer in the eyes and say, you can't do what you're doing to me. How many times have we seen that end in the other person, in the Black person or the marginalized person losing their life? Or when they go to court and they try to argue these charges, like, it's less likely to be dropped than it is for a white person.
Exactly, and that's just based on the essence of humanity that's not transcended into racialized realms. Because
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because that essence of humanity is attached to the white body. Our all of our theories of, like, morality and, like, how we're supposed to view the world, that's attached to whiteness. Mm-hmm. So, and with whiteness comes innocence, as we were saying earlier, the associations with whiteness become associations with innocence, but the associations with any racialized bodies become associations with automatic guilt. So exactly. That's essentially what is happening, and that's exactly why, especially marginalized communities cause such an uproar surrounding this situation is because it's scary. It's scary for us. We're scared for our dad to leave the house. We're scared to leave the house ourselves. We're scared. And I know that is not a feeling that's limited to just us. That's a feeling that has transcended into the Black and Indigenous populations as well. That's what's happening.
Absolutely. Well, if you are Black, and if you're a Black Ontarian, I don't know how to say that word, and you do get fucking carded, because that's what they're doing, and something does happen, you can contact Black, that's BLAC, they're on Facebook, and it is the, I'm just pulling up their page, why did I leave it?
Is it Black Legal Advocates Council?
Yes, Black Legal Advocates Council. So they will help you through the whole procedure if it does happen to you. And if it does, good luck. And it's Black Legal Action Center is actually what it stands for.
Black Legal Action Center. And they also, they have a number that I'm
Their phone number is 1-877-736-736. 9406. Their email address is info@blacklegalactioncenter.ca. And they're open from Monday to Friday at 9:30 to 4:30 p.m.
Awesome. Awesome possum. Yeah. Well, thank you guys for hanging out today. It was good.
We hope that you're equally as enraged about these things as we are. And we love you.
We love you so much.
Yeah, follow us on Instagram at Black Girls Chatter. Our individuals' accounts, Alicia is Alicia X Dawn, and Shayla is Shayla AM Shalom. We love to chitty chat, so if you guys want to reach out on any platform, hit us up.
And yeah, this is our last, this is the last week of exams.
I know, I'm literally done my undergrad tomorrow. I'm done my undergrad. Whoop, whoop. On to bigger and better things.
Oh, I just punched my thing. Okay, goodbye. I'm stopping.
Okay, bye.